His mercy endures forever and ever and ever. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. Well, the kids and the youth can head on back. Glory to God. The rest of you can just stay here and take it, the Word. Just take the Word. Glory to God. He's worthy. I said He's worthy. I said He's worthy. I said He's worthy. I said He's worthy. You're worthy, Lord. We worship You. We honor You. We praise You. We exalt You. We give You thanks, God. For You are good. You are God. We just exalt You. We love You. We honor You. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, I think with the things of the Lord, you can't give up. You can't go back. You can't quit. You got to keep going forward. Amen. You just keep going forward. Why? Because He's faithful. He's going to get us through. He's going to see us through. He's going to carry us through, right? Glory to God. And not just that. He's been very good to us. I said He's been very, very, very good to us. See, He sought me out. I didn't seek Him out. When I was lost, He sought me out. Glory to God. He came to me. When I came to Him, He was running toward me. He loves me. He cares about me. He cares for me. You know, He's real. His voice is to be discerned by us. His voice is supposed to carry us through. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 5. And the Lord put this on my heart to talk about the Beatitudes. And I like what somebody said, and I wrote it in my notes. The Beatitudes are to be our attitudes. Let me say that again. The Beatitudes are to be our attitudes. Let me say that again so somebody gets it. I said, the Beatitudes are supposed to be our attitudes. You remember when the apostles, Jesus was leaving the apostles, He said, listen, I want you to teach all men everything that I've taught you. That's an incredible statement. It's like, we don't have to come up with something new. All we have to do is teach what Jesus taught us. Right? Because that's what we're supposed to have. We seek out, God gives us revelation. God gives us revelation knowledge. He gives us all of that. But it has to come back to line up with what He said. Right? It can't be something so far out there that, you know, that angels driving Cadillacs or something. I don't know. There's a goofy things out there that people get into. But it's coming back to the Word. And so this morning, I just want to come back to what Jesus said. Verse 1 of chapter 5 says, and seeing the multitudes, He went up on a high mountain. And when He was seated with His disciples, the disciples came to Him. And He opened His mouth and taught them, saying, I like this. He said, He saw the multitudes, but He went up on a mountain. And His disciples came to Him and He taught them, saying, He taught them, saying, listen, I've got something I've got something to say to you. I've got something to say for you. How do you like that? They're competing back there. I like it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But watch this. Watch this. He said this, and listen to these things. Blessed. How many want to be blessed? How many think that it works the same way today as it did back then? If you want to be blessed, there's some things that need to happen and that you need to be in line with. Your attitude needs to be correct. Listen to what he says. He says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Some people have read this as if you're poor, you're blessed. But that's not what he says. He said, if you're poor in spirit, what does that mean? Well, in essence, it means that you're humble. I said, in essence, it means that you're humble. And what does humility mean? Humility, I'm not talking about definition out of the dictionary, but humility means that God's word and what God thinks is above what I think. True humility is just taking God at His word, and if my brain doesn't line up with what He said, then it's not God that has to change, it's my brain that changes. Let's look at a couple of different verses with it. Blessed are the poor in spirit. How many want to be blessed? Then you have to have a humble heart. You have to have a humble heart. And I like what it says. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We're going to get into a couple different verses where we go to that. But I like the kingdom of heaven. I want the kingdom of heaven in my life. And you know what that means? That means that here on earth, we can have His rule and His reign, His protection. Come on. Glory to God. His provision. But we need to meet the condition of being poor in spirit. Go to James chapter 4. The book of James chapter 4. And I know that we've read this before. But here's what I want you to get. Is that we can't just read the word. We have to do the word. Let me say that again. Well, I've heard that sermon before. I've heard that preached before. I've heard those verses before. Awesome. Are you doing them? Right? I mean, that's for all of us. Are we doing what God tells us to do? And I want you to get the picture of this in James chapter 4. And we're going to start in verse 4. It says, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the Scripture says in vain, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously, but He gives more grace? Therefore, He says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep, and let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Now that's quite a mouthful right there, but listen to what he's saying. He's saying, listen, if you're violating what I say is right, then if you want to be poor in spirit, you have to come to the end of yourself. You have to admit that what I'm saying is right and what you're doing is wrong. And you have to get to the point where you are sick and tired of not being with who God wants you to be. You get to the point where you cry and you lament and you mourn over the behavior that you know is not pleasing to God. I'm talking about humbling yourself before God, not making excuses or comparing yourself to anybody else. Well, you know, I'm not as big a liar as Susie over there. I'm not as big as drunk as George over there. I'm not as big as gossip as, you know, whoever, running out of names that aren't here. But watch this. but watch this. But that has nothing to do with anything. What has to be measured to our heart is what God's speaking to our hearts. If God's speaking to our hearts that I don't like the way you're behaving, I don't like your attitude. If for us to be poor in spirit, we have to be to the point where, God, I don't want to do this, but I keep finding myself doing this. But Lord, help me. And I'm going to get to the point, whatever it takes, my behavior is going to change. Let me say that again. Whatever it takes, my behavior is going to change because I am going to get in line with what God wants. right? And of course, we can't do this on our own, but the point is that if we'll put our heart in that position, He'll lift us up. He'll help us. He'll change us. But we cannot. It's like the drug addict that says, I want to be clean, right? But I want to still hang out with other drug addicts. I don't want to lose all my friends. I want to be clean, but you know, I'm an alcoholic, but I'll continue to go to the bar. I want to be clean, but is what the problem is. You have to come to the place where you're at the end of yourself and you're willing to cry out to God in desperation almost that I need to be rid of this. Whatever it is, it could be jealousy, it could be envy, it could be unforgiveness, it could be bitterness. Right? How many have ever been bitter and you thought, I'm justified in being bitter? Right? You know what they did to me. You know what they said to me. You know what how they acted to me. You know what I'm put up with every day. Listen, I have the right to be bitter, but you don't. Because He said you shouldn't be bitter. Don't let bitterness take root. So what do you have to do with bitterness? You have to come to the end of yourself. If you're going to be poor in spirit, you have to humble yourself to His Word and say, bitterness, I'm not having any part of you. Jealousy, I'm not having any part of you. Listen, mouth, you're going to have to change the way you talk. And if you know, like our parents told us, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all, right? I mean, there's a point where we have to get with sin and sin in our heart that we have to say, Lord, I'm coming to the place where I don't want to have any part of it. And I'm coming to you. Again, in recovery circles, it's like, people will never really do the work that they need to do until they come to an end of themselves. It's like, I give up. I can't do it anymore. I give up. You know, in AA, they say, you know, you have to surrender to the higher power. And we know that there's only one higher power. But we have to surrender to Him. If you want God to lift you up, if you want the blessings that Jesus is talking about and being poor in the Spirit, you have to say, listen, I'm no longer going to compromise. I'm no longer going to make excuses. I'm no longer going to live that way. And if people don't like it, well, too bad. If I don't want to do it, too bad. Whatever it takes, I'm going to get rid of it, right? I'm going to put it aside. How many have ever noticed that God may have delivered you from something, but if you start paying attention to it, it wants to come back? Yeah. Am I the only one that works with? Right? It wants to come back. But you have to look at that thing and say, no, this thing that was on me and controlled me, God delivered me from, and I'm not going to let that door open even a crack, because it will come between me and Him. And so therefore, whatever I have to do, I'm going to do. Right? Glory to God. What was the name of that movie? It wasn't Courageous. It was something else where Kirk Cameron, he destroyed the computers, right? He was having trouble with pornography, and he tried to put it in the other... What's that? Fireproof. Is that? Yeah, that was it. Yeah, that was it. And he tried to put it in the other... Tried to do it. So you see him at some point taking the computers out to the garbage can and beating them up with a sledgehammer. Right? Because he was doing his part to humble himself. He was lamenting. He was weeping. He was mourning. You see, your attitude has to be in line with his attitude. And when it's not, you have to cry out to God and say, whatever it takes, God, I want my attitude to change. Does that make sense to you? Right? If you want the kingdom of God to rule in your heart and rule in your life and have the benefits of heaven on earth, hello? You've got to be the place where He's first. And that's it. He's first. You see, the Bible says here in James chapter 4 to resist the devil and he'll flee from you. But sometimes the devil is not fleeing from us because we haven't submitted ourselves fully to God. Come on, does that make sense to you? So what does that mean? It's like, Lord, today I surrender. I surrender. I surrender all. I surrender all. Except my attitude. All to you. Right? No, we have to mean the song that we're singing. I surrender my kids. I surrender my family. I surrender my friends. I surrender all that I have. See, Jesus came to the rich young ruler and he asked some questions of him. And basically the conversation went that, man, I've given, I've done this. I'm at the synagogue every week. Jesus said, man, you've answered well and you've done well. But this one thing, I want you to sell all that you have, give it to the poor and follow me. See, it wasn't about the money. It was about the place in the man's heart that the money occupied. So it might not be money for us because we don't have any. It might be something else. But God is saying, look it, I want you to surrender all to me. See, if we're going to be poor in spirit, blessed are the poor in spirit, we have to allow ourselves to be humbled. And humble before God. I cannot force humility on you. You have to humble yourself. It's like the little kid that you put in timeout. And they're got their nose against the wall. And they're going, I'm here because you're forcing me to, but I am not, humbling my... I am mad, I'm PO'd, and this is not... You know what I'm saying? That they're resisting even though they're submitting. And God wants us to fully submit to Him. Hallelujah. Psalm 138. Let's look at that. Psalm 138. Psalm 138, it says in verse 6 that though the Lord is on high, yet He regards the lowly, but the proud He knows from afar. Again, the lowly is not talking about just those who have nothing and are nothing and are just walking around, he's not really talking about beggars. What he's talking about is people who have the correct attitude of themselves toward God. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and I shout that from the mountaintop that He made me righteous, He made me holy, but I understand also in that statement that it's because I'm in Him and myself. I'm none of those things. But praise God, I'm not by myself. Right? But I have to look at myself like I'm not better than the person that's out there who's struggling, walking in the street. We had a gentleman that was awesome, that came in, he's homeless, whatever. I can't look at myself and say, well, shoot, I'm glad I'm not like you. Because it's the grace of God and my submission to the grace of God that put me in the position that I'm in. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I don't want God to resist me. I want God to be freely giving to me. And the attitude of my heart has something to do with that. One more. Look at, I got down here, Proverbs 28. Proverbs 28. In verse 25, listen to this. He who is proud of heart stirs up strife, but he who trusts in the Lord will be prospered. He who is proud of heart, you know what proud of heart means? It's all about me. It's all about me. Right? Right? And we have to be at the place where, Lord, you've got me, so I'm willing to submit myself to you. I'm willing to forgive when it doesn't feel right to forgive. I'm willing to walk in love when it doesn't feel like walking in love. When Jesus made some statements like, love your enemies, do good to those who hurt you. You know, all of those statements are like, wait a minute, that's not right. I don't deserve that. I don't deserve. Well, listen, submit yourself to Him. He'll lift you up. If you put yourself in the position where your attitude is His attitude, you'll prosper. In what? Everything. 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 I find it interesting that Solomon wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. Have you ever read through that? Vanity. It's all vanity. It's all vanity. I've had this, I've had that. It all means nothing. And it's true. What really means everything is the relationship that I have with Him, and because of that, the relationship that I have with you. All of the rest of it means nothing. Right? So, Lord, I want to submit myself to you. Hallelujah. Back to Matthew chapter 5. See, again, these are the Beatitudes. They're the attitudes that the Lord wants in my life. I need to be humble before Him. I'll just tell you that the Lord doesn't work with everybody the same way, but I'll tell you how the Lord works with me. And I've seen it over and over. When I begin to whine to Him about how somebody else is treating me, not that any of you would do that, but Lord, you know how they're treating me. He never lets me get away with it. He always directs me back to me. What? Lord, I'm not talking about me. Well, I want to deal with you. Right? I've had it more than one time. The issue is you. What? You know what they did? You know what they said? You know what they... No, the issue is you. I want your heart. I want your heart. There was one time that it was a church thing and there was strife going on, and it was like I was going to get up and take my place as the pastor, bless God, and I was going to straighten everybody out. Right? I mean, I'm going to tell them the truth. You know, some people were saying something. I'm going to tell them the truth. And the Lord didn't let me. He started speaking to me. He started saying, listen, this is the way He described it to me. He described it to me and showed me in my mind's eye this big, like a campfire, one that's huge in the middle and it's kind of terraced up, and then there's, you know, things on the outside. He said, watch this. He said, if you go and try to stomp out all the fires that are around in the grass around this campfire, then you're going to stomp them and it's going to spread. But if you will tend the fire that's in the fireplace in your heart, if you'll tend to that, the rest of them will go out. I didn't want to do that. I had something to say. Bless God. But I have to take His attitude. I have to take His word. I have to submit myself to Him. That's being poor in spirit. That's humbling yourself before God and say, God, there is just the slightest possibility that I could be wrong. It's not very likely. It's not happened often, but I could be wrong. Let me just talk to you. If you are in a situation that you have wanted people to apologize more to you than you've apologized to somebody else, there might be a problem. Why? Because God wants to deal with your heart. I'm not talking about just being somebody that lets people walk on them, but I'm saying my attitude is, God, I want your heart into my heart, so I'm humbling myself. This is what poor in spirit means. If, again, as it says, blessed are the poor in spirit, those who will put their hearts before God and say, God, you show me what my issues are, rather than me trying to figure out what somebody else's issues are. It said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I like that. I want to hear from heaven. How about you? Not just when I get there, but I want heaven to invade earth. The Lord's Prayer says, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. If you want the kingdom of God on earth in your heart, then you have to be of a humble spirit. Verse 4, the second one. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. We are a faith church. I believe in faith. I believe in victory. I believe in God wanting to prosper us. I believe, but I also know that there are times of mourning. Right? And you know, there's a statement that people make that's like, well, just fake it until you make it. Well, there's a time to mourn. But if you're sincere in your mourning, and in your mourning you're not blaming others, you're not projecting on others, but you're just saying, God, this is my heart, this is where I am. It hurts to lose a husband. It hurts when sons and daughters are not where they should be, or it hurts when people abuse. It hurts, but we're to take it to the Lord, and we're saying, Lord, here is my hurting. I don't want to react out of my hurting. I want to give my hurt to you. Right? And then watch this. It says, they will be comforted. I was meditating on this or thinking about this, and the Lord just brought it up to me that we have the Comforter living on the inside of us. Nobody can comfort you like the Holy Spirit. But you have to be in a place where you're looking to the Holy Spirit for comfort. Are you with me? Right. It's like, Lord, my attitude is, even if I'm in pain, I'm coming to your presence and I'm just trusting, Holy Spirit, that you'll guide me through this whole process. I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense to me. I thought that we'd be in a different place right now. I thought that I was in faith, and I thought, but Lord, didn't happen the way. So I've got two choices. I can either run from you and try to blame you and just ignore you, or I can just come to you and trust you. The person that trusts him will be comforted by him. He'll give you words. This is a few years ago. There was a lady whose husband was a preacher. And he had passed away. And she was, God was dealing with her, dealt with her pretty strongly on the whole process. But she was just talking with the Lord. And she said, Lord, I would just like to hear his voice one more time. And she happened to just hit the cassette player on her car. This was a few years ago. Cassette player on her car. And she didn't know it, but loaded in that was one of his teaching tapes. God knows how to get comfort to us if we'll trust him with it. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be, not might be, but will be comforted. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's really, really, really good at his job. Is that awesome? Blessed. Now verse 3. Listen to this one. The third. It says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Meek doesn't mean weak. Sometimes you think of meek and you think of, again, many of you will maybe not identify, but hopefully all of us are old enough to remember Wally Cox, right? Just mild manner, weak voice, weak. But listen, meek does not mean weak. Let me just share with you what meek means. It means mild-tempered, soft, gentle, not easily provoked or irritated, yielding, given to forbearance under injuries, submissive to the divine will. Meek is not weak. In fact, if you just hold your place there and go to chapter 11 of Matthew, chapter 11 of Matthew, and verse 28 says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. That word gentle there is meek. In the Greek, it's meek. Jesus is saying, come to me because I'm meek. Come to me because I am gentle and lowly at heart. What does meekness mean when he says, blessed are the meek? He's those that are approachable, those that are kind, those who are gentle. There's some people that need a harsh word, but most people just need a gentle word. They need to come to them that's not yelling at them all the time or. He said, blessed are the meek. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are you. When you come to somebody else, how many have ever been in a situation where somebody, you come after and you just want to get in their face and say, well, just stop it. Sometimes that's good counsel, by the way, but most of the time, it's like, Lord, help me to be a person who can intercede on their behalf, right? It's, Lord, put me in a position where I can be used of you to help them. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the kingdom, shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the meek. I'm blessed when I'm gentle. I'm blessed when I'm forbearing under injuries. I'm blessed when I'm submissive to the divine will. Right. Now, not everything that happens to you is God's will. Right. Some people have that view, and that's not true. But God, I'm just going to submit to your will no matter what, no matter what. But again, being meek is not being weak. Hallelujah. Verse 6 says this. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. How many want to be filled with God? Wouldn't you like to wake up in the morning and just, God, I can't see anything else but you. Nothing else is around. I can't see any of my circumstances. But this says those that hunger and thirst for righteousness. I was thinking about this when I was preparing, and I went, you know, I don't think I've really ever been hungry to the place of starvation. Now, I've gone a long fast, right? I have, but never to the place of starvation. And I've never been thirsty to the point where you see in the old Western movies where the guy's out in the desert and he sees a mirage and all of a sudden he sees this pond of water and he runs up and he jumps in the middle of the water and starts sucking sand because it's a mirage. Right? See, that's the point of desperation in hunger and thirst. So there's levels of hunger and thirst. I'm hungry because I haven't eaten in a couple hours and, you know, I could use a burger or whatever, some whatever's cooking in the back right now. But there's a hunger that's deep. There's a hunger that needs to be satisfied. There's a hunger that just, I'll do whatever it takes to satisfy this need, right? Blessed, envied, highly favored are those who are hungry and thirsty for righteousness. What is righteousness? Well, it's the right thing. What's right? It's the right thing. God's way is the right way. It's the right thing. I'm hungry and thirsty for God's way. And again, these all kind of work together and kind of weave together. But it's like, Lord, your way is right and mine's not. So I'm going to submit myself to your way. And that involves a lot of things. It involves you telling your flesh no. Right? I failed at that so many times. One time that I'm thinking about is that we lived out on the, this was years ago, out on the south shore of Hood Canal. And many of you will know the intersection that I'm talking about. But I was driving through Belfair and it was on a Friday morning, right? And I worked a graveyard, so I was driving through there and I was came to that intersection where you can go right and go down 106 on the south shore of Hood Canal, right? Or go up the hill and go toward Allen. And I thought, I think I'll just go up and play golf. It's early, it's a good morning. I think I'll just go up to Lakeland Village and play golf. But in my spirit, right, in my spirit, go this way and pray. I chose to go play golf. Right? Why? Because my hunger and thirst for righteousness were not enough to motivate me to do what the Spirit of God was telling me to do. So what am I saying? That to hunger and thirst for righteousness, you have to be one who will control your flesh. Say no to your flesh. Deny your flesh and follow Him. See, it's not just a little thing, it's a deep thing. I'm hungering and thirsting for your righteousness. You know this verse, but just go to chapter 6 and verse 33. But it says, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And again, in the context of what he was saying, he said, you know, why are you worried about what you're going to wear, where you're going to sleep, what food you're going to eat? Why are you worried about the clothes? Why are you worried? God takes care of everything. He will take care of everything. But he said, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. See, if you want to be blessed, you have to hunger and thirst for righteousness. Come on. It's like, Lord, I'm hungry. I'm needing. I'm seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then I'm going to trust Him with everything else. Amen? Well, we got through a few of them. Did y'all get anything this morning? Did you get something this morning? Well, I would just ask you to, in your prayer time, to get quiet before God and say, Lord, I'm not looking for condemnation or things that are wrong, but I also want to give you access to my heart. So, Lord, if there's anything in me that you want to deal with, I'm hungry for your way versus my way. Right? And especially when you're dealing with people, because people make you mad, people offend you, people do things. Get quiet before God and all of that. And instead of putting on Facebook how everybody lets you down, how about coming before God and say, God, where am I in all of this? Because really what's important, Lord, is this is between you and me. And so, Lord, I just want to come before you. I want to humble myself before you. I want to hear from you. And not from the standpoint that I'm expecting condemnation, because you'll never lead me to that, but you might bring correction so that I can go to a different level in you if I'll listen to you. So this morning, I would just ask that you would, in your prayer time, at least give allowance for that and get quiet before God and listen. And then when He speaks to you, have the determination, whatever it takes, I'm going to do what He says. If it costs me everything, I don't care. I'm going to do what He says. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for your word today. I thank you, Lord, that I want my attitudes to be these attitudes, and I want my hunger to be based on you and who you are and your word. And Lord, I ask that you would just place it on everybody's heart in the room and everybody that's watching online to have the same attitude. I just give you glory and honor and praise, Lord, for all that you've done for me and all that you're doing in me. Lord, we yield ourselves to you, and if anybody has hurt us, anybody, we turn them over to you this morning, and we're just seeking you this morning. This is between you and me, period. And Lord, I'm just giving you my heart and asking you to deal with me, because I want you more than anything. So I give you myself completely. If you're watching online and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, that's the place to start. It's coming to the place like I had to. It's like, my life isn't going the way that I need it to go. I need something more. And I found out that Jesus was what I needed. If that's you, just come to Him right now and just say, Father, in Jesus' name, I submit myself to you. I receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I believe He is the Messiah and that He was raised from the dead. That solidified the fact that His blood saved me from my sin. I just receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you're watching online, just be blessed in Jesus' name. God bless you. Hallelujah. If I could have the worship.